This is Alive with Joseph.
Glory to God. Amen. We've been looking at words alive, and we're looking at number 4 tonight. And I will stop here for this period. Amen. Words alive, and we're looking at number 4. So we've established quite a couple of things. And one of the things we've established is wrong words can prolong a bad season in your life. Wrong words can prolong a bad season. And some believers, they are in a season that should have expired by now, but their words keep, you know, recycling that season. Their words is still keeping that season alive. So wrong words can prolong a bad season. And some of you are in a season that should have expired by now. That season should have expired. But the words you keep speaking keeps that season alive instead of that season to have expired. So wrong words can prolong a bad season. Now understand that life and death, we saw that yesterday, is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. And God wants you and I to move, you know, beyond what has happened to us into what he has prepared for us, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. There's some of you that keep recycling the pain you've gone through. Some of you went through divorce. You keep recycling it. It has been years now. You keep recycling. You've not moved on, but you keep declaring those things with your mouth. And God wants you to move on from the loss you have also experienced in that business. God wants you to move on from that retrenchment that you experienced, because if you do not move on with your words, you will not be able to come into the new season that God has prepared for you. Some of you people have hurt you, done you wrong. You are refusing to move on. So you keep using your words to recycle that bad season, to repeat the bad season. And God has already designed it for you to be able to come into a present truth, come into a new season, but your mouth is keeping you in the season that has expired. Your tongue is keeping you in the season that has expired. Understand, friends, when you go through a season of pain and you keep the pain in your tongue, you will continue to create cycles of pain. When you go through a pain, you go through a season of pain, you go through a season of loss, you know, loss, it might be losses in business, losses in career, or any area of loss, any loss you have experienced in any area of life. When you keep that pain in your tongue, you will continue to create cycles of pain. You will continue to create cycles of pain. If you are angry and bitter, you are locking yourself in cycles of bitterness and anger. And yet, God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you from all of those things that you have gone through. God wants to deliver you. God wants to bring you out. God wants you to be able to come into the new things that he has done, prepared for you. He said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Remember, not the former things, neither consider the things of old. He said, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Most of you, you are like Saul. The Bible said that, you know, you are like Samuel, rather. The Bible said that Samuel kept mourning for Saul until God came to him and said, "How long will you continue to mourn for Saul? I have a new beginning for you. I have something new that I'm about to do. I'm about to bring in a new era." But the more you are mourning for Saul, the more Saul, the more you are denying me the opportunity to usher in David, that signifies a new era. And most of you are like that. You are mourning for Saul. You are mourning. And God is saying, if you continue to do that, you will repeat cycles in your life. And I pray for you today, any cycle that you are repeating in your life that you ought to be out from, I command you right now, receive grace to come out of it in the name of Jesus. Receive grace to come out of it in the name of Jesus. Understand that whatever you constantly talk about, you perpetuate. Whatever you are talking about always, you perpetuate. Let's get into scriptures tonight. Look at Luke chapter 6, verse 45. I read, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Your heart and your mouth are together. Your heart and your mouth are together. If it is from your mouth, it simply means it has already been overflowing in your heart. If it comes out from your mouth, it's an indication that it has already been overflowing in your mouth, in your heart rather. So whatever you are talking about all the time, it simply means that you are full of it to the point where you can't even contain it. You have no choice but to let it out. Whatever you are speaking is already in an overflowing manner in your heart. That is why the scripture makes it clear that our heart and our mouth, they are tied together. They are tied together. Anything you are talking about all the time, it is already in your heart to the point whereby you cannot put a lid on it. You cannot put a lid on it. And that is why, you know, they say often when people are angry, and they start saying certain things to you, is an indication of what is already locked up in their heart. And when provocation came, there was no way they could contain it other than to let it out. Are you understanding me, Tony? So whatever you are talking about all the time, you keep repeating that pain, is an indication that it is in an overflowing manner in your heart. You can't even put a lid on it. So there's no way you can stop yourself from talking about it. If negativity is in your mouth, it's clear, it's an indication that there is negativity in your heart. If anger is in your mouth, there is anger in your heart. If confusion is in your mouth, it is also in your heart. Whatever flows consistently out of your mouth is a clear indication that that thing is in an overflowing manner in your heart. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. So your heart and your mouth, the two are tied together. Hear this, friends. Even though, listen carefully to this, even though it is in your heart, even though it is in your heart, as long as you are not giving life to it via your mouth, it cannot destroy you. Even though it is in your heart, if you're not giving life to it via your mouth, it cannot destroy you. It is when you speak it with your mouth, that is when you have given life to it. Even though it is in your heart, if you do not speak it out, if you do not give life to it via your mouth, it cannot destroy you. Because when you speak it out, you have given life to it. You have given life to something that God never wanted to leave in your life. God never wanted to leave in your life. So it can be in your heart and you're not giving voice to it. After a while, when you superimpose the word of God, according to Romans, the book of Romans chapter 12 or so, that talks about renewing your mind, when you take in God's word, you know, and David said, how we shall a young man cleanse his ways? He said, by taking heed to your word. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Even though it's in your heart, as you consistently sit around the word of God, the word of God will subdue it in your heart. But if you give it life via spoken words, it creates a cycle in your life. So being in your heart does not destroy, but it is when you give it life via your words, that is when it destroys. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Apostle James tells us in the book of James chapter 3 verse 6 that with our tongue we set on fire the course of nature. With our tongue, we set on fire the course of nature. What does nature mean there? Nature means, what nature means in that scripture is that nature means that which comes naturally to you. Nature in James chapter 3 means that which comes naturally to you. That which you magnetically attract. Most of you, your tongue have set the course of what happens naturally to you. Your tongue have set on course what happens naturally to you. Nature there means what you naturally attract. So there are many of you right now, the kind of thing you attract is because of the words you have spoken consistently over your life. So it has set on fire the course of your nature. So you are naturally attracting certain things. Even when the devil is not sending it your way, your tongue naturally attracts. It's like, for example, when you put, you know, like sugar or anything sweet you know, or in a or on the floor or something like that, what happens? It will attract the ant. Where, if you like, pray from now till tomorrow. As long as that sugar is there, ants, somehow, they will find their way. You'll be wondering, where are they coming from? Somehow, I don't know how sensitive their nose is, but somehow, they will find their way and find their way until they get to the sugar. That is how it is. Most of you, you have set the course of your nature on fire with the words coming from your mouth. So even when you unconsciously, you are attracting certain things. You know, some of you are attracting some funny men because of the kind of things you have said. Some of you are attracting some crazy women because of the kind of things you have said. You know, you have no choice but to attract them. But why? Because your tongue has built it around you. And now, when it comes, it is not coming by mistake. Until you change what you are saying, there are certain things you will not attract. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Amen. So it means, the word nature there means that which you magnetically attract. And I pray for you today, whatever word you have spoken over your life that keeps you attracting what you don't want, by the blood of Jesus, by the mercy of God, I terminate it by fire in the name of Jesus. I stop it from tonight in the name of Jesus. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Chapter 11 verse 3. It says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, we established this yesterday. We established that the word world there means times and seasons of life. By faith, through the word of God, the times and seasons of your life are framed by words. The times and seasons of your life are framed. They are not framed by the devil. They are framed by your words. By faith, times and seasons are framed. The word there is not talking about planet Earth. No. It's talking about times and seasons. Now, when you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 8, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Now, you are hard pressed. Another translation will say, you are hard pressed. It says there, but you are distressed, hard pressed, but all of these things, we are not perplexed, we are not despair. Now, the word hard pressed there, it simply means it is coming against you in every angle. Hard pressed means it is coming against you in every angle. So you are hard pressed on every side. The King James says, we are troubled on every side. On every side, you are troubled. In the angle of your career, you are troubled. Your marriage angle, you are troubled. Business angle, you are troubled. Your children, troubled. Finances, troubled. On every side, you are feeling the pressure. But he says something. No matter the pressure you feel, you cannot be crushed. He said, you cannot be crushed. You cannot be crushed. So being crushed is a choice. You are the one who make the choice to be crushed. But God has guaranteed by mercy and grace that no matter what troubles you on every side, it cannot crush you. It has no power to crush you. And I pray for you today, whatever has been troubling you on every side, tonight, under this anointing, it comes to an end in the name of Jesus. I say it comes to an end in the name of Jesus. Then in verse 13, something interesting. He now continued. It's a discussion. Understand that it's a discussion he's having. Then he got to verse 13. He now said, we having, this is the reason why we are not crushed. The reason why we are not crushed is we have the same spirit of faith as it is written. According as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, therefore we speak. So as as the things are pressing me on every side, by the spirit of faith, I don't declare what is crushing me on every side. I declare what I believe. So I'm not declaring what is crushing me on every side. I declare what I believe. He said, we have the spirit of faith. And by this spirit of faith, we spoke what we believe. We didn't speak what was hard pressing us. We didn't speak. The reason why we're not crushed is because we chose to speak the word of God that has been deposited in our hearts, not what is heart pressing us. So my finances are falling apart. I choose not to speak that my finances are falling apart. I choose to declare, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And when I do that, no matter how hard pressed I am in the area of finances, I will not be crushed. Give Jesus praise tonight. So he said, we are not crushed, not because of anything, but simply because we have the spirit of faith, the Holy Ghost in us. We have the spirit of faith. We are distressed, yet we are not perplexed. We are distressed, yet why? Because by the spirit of faith, we believe that God is able to keep us in perfect peace, those whose heart is stayed on him. And by that declaration, we are not perplexed, even in the midst of distress. Give Jesus praise tonight. So friends, can I ask you tonight, can you be hard pressed on every side and not speak what is pressing you? Instead, you speak what you believe. Because the spirit of faith is not moved by what is. It always will speak what God has said. And the challenge is, when believers are hard pressed, they speak what is hard pressing them. Amen? And the reason they do that is because they have no word inside of them that they can speak. Because the last time the sister came to church was last Sunday. So even in the midst of the last Sunday word that she received, which she received by mistake, because when service was going on, she was doing all kinds of, her mind was everywhere. Amen. And the sister say, amen. Her mind was everywhere. She's thinking of the Brazilian wig or whatever wig is raining now. She's thinking of who she's going to quarrel with when she leaves the service. If she's a married woman, she's thinking of the woman she suspects is following her husband. She, all kinds of things on her head. So even the little she gets, now all kinds of things have collected. So now she is hard pressed. She has no word. That's why she ends up speaking what is hard pressing her. It's like a student who doesn't understand what they have taught in class. You can't manufacture it if you don't understand. When you sit in the exam room and the papers are given to you, if you don't understand, you don't understand. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So the brother is hard pressed, but the reason why he is perplexed is because he has all kinds of things in his head, minus the word of God. So he has no choice but to speak what is perplexing him. So there's no spirit of faith whereby he can declare, we declare what we believe. Why? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Because there is no intake of the word, there is nothing he believes. Because there is nothing he believes, there is nothing he can declare. We having the same spirit of faith. Put on the screen for me. We having, please look at this, friends. If you catch this, you will win for life. We having the same spirit of faith. We having the same spirit of faith.
Verse 13. We have in the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. Our belief is coming according as it is written. So if I don't know what is written, I will have no belief. If I have no belief, I cannot speak. Because what allows me to speak is what is written that I believe in. So when we tell you come to church every day, it is not a ploy to keep you here. My friend, you think you're the only one who knows how to enjoy life. Me too, I like life. Huh? You know, today is holiday. Some of you have been enjoying life. I started my day here in the morning, 5 a.m., finish, managed to get little exercise into my body. Then I returned back here. I've been sitting on the chair to the point where my ritual tells me, stand up and take some walk. Preparing for 30 minutes teaching. I've been sitting for hours. You think some of you have been roaming around the mall, you know? Eh? Wana Morena, you've been roaming around the mall. But I've been sitting one place since. So it's not a ploy to waste your time. No. It's so that we can put things in you so that when you are hard pressed, you have written what to believe in so that you can speak. Give Jesus praise this evening. So friends, can you be hard pressed on every side and not speak what is pressing you? In the book of Genesis chapter 1, God didn't speak what he saw. He spoke what he wanted. He saw darkness, he saw chaos, and he spoke the opposite. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah and Israel was in a 3-year drought, in a 3-year famine. And Elijah shows up after God has spoken to him. He didn't show up. God said to him, go show yourself to Ahab. So that means there is already a word that he can believe in. God said to him, go show yourself to Ahab. He appeared to Ahab, showed up, and said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He didn't speak about the drought. He didn't speak about how dry it is. He spoke the rain. He said, I hear the sound. Even when he told his servant, go check. The servant came and said, no, I can't see anything. Go check. He said, I can't see anything. He said, go keep checking until you see something. When he came, he said, I see something like a man's hand. He said, go tell Ahab. Prepare your horse. Move. Rain is on his way. Are you no more say? He didn't speak about the drought. He didn't speak about how dry it is. He didn't speak about death. He said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. So I am going to speak what I hear. Child of God, get the word into your heart. Speak it out of your mouth. Keep speaking it until it rains. I declare over you, may it rain in your destiny in the name of Jesus. Whatever you are believing God for, it will arrive as a rain upon your life in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. So there was word. He didn't just say anything. No. There was word. God said, go show yourself to Ahab. God gave him a word. And by that word, he came and said, no. Listen, rain is coming. Rain is coming, Ahab. Saddle your donkey. Prepare yourself. Rain is coming. I don't know who that is, but rain is coming. I said, rain is coming. Oh, you've experienced too many droughts in that business. You think it is over. I came to announce the reign of prosperity, the reign of profit, the reign of increase, the reign of opportunities is coming upon your business in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise tonight. Rain is coming. Let me see. Let's see something quickly. Let's see something quickly. Luke chapter 11, from 11 to 13. Quickly, it says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So here God is, uses an analogy of a father, you know, to explain certain things to them about himself. He said, if a father can give good gifts to his children, how much more me? Just like a normal father will give good things to his children, why will I not do the same? Why will I give you serpents? Why will I give you scorpions? Why will I give you stones when you ask me for bread? When you ask me for fish? When you ask me for egg? Why will I give you anything from other than what you have asked from me? But why? Because he is trying to help you and I understand that he is the author of every good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift, God is the author. He's the author of every good and perfect gift. And when you look at the book of Luke chapter 10, for you to see that he is not the one who will give you, you know, serpent and scorpions. He said to us in Luke chapter 10 verse 19, he said, I give you authority to trample on every evil, on every serpent, on every scorpion. So how come he gives you authority to trample on the same evil spirit, then he comes back and give it to you again? No, he won't give it to you. No, he's not the author of evil. Are you understanding me now? He's not the author of... God will not give you serpents. He will not give you scorpions. He will not give you stones. Are you understanding me now? Now, when you look at Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, follow me carefully as we wrap up somewhere here. He said, the Lord had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He said, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Now here the prophet Isaiah says, how can God take a weary soul and introduce that weary soul into a new season? He says, this is the technology that carries that out. He says, he will do that with words. He does that with words. The Lord had given me the tongue of the learned. So he gave me the tongue of the learned. By that tongue, I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That is, when God wants to deliver a weary soul, he doesn't do that by anything physical. He does that by speaking words. Are you understanding me tonight? He does that by speaking words. He says he wakes him up morning by morning and allows him to hear, so that by what he hears, he can use his tongue to write properly, or he can use his tongue rightly to frame his world for that day. He allows him to hear. Then when he hears, he wakes him up in the morning. He wakes him up in the morning. 5 a.m. prayers. He wakes him up in the morning so that he can hear. By what he hears, he can use his tongue to write. That is why I tell you, thunder after me. When I tell you thunder after me, you hear me say it and you take your own tongue. You declare it over your life. You are framing your own world. He wakes him up. So the weary soul, the only way to deliver a weary soul is by words. So you see why morning prayer is not just a plot to get you to log on to the church YouTube page. Amen. It's not a plot to get you to join Facebook. No. It's a divine strategy that you wake up. The Lord had given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. How does he do that? He wakes him up. Say, wake up. Wake up. When he wakes up, he hears what he has heard. He speaks. He speaks. Then as he speaks, that day will have been a disaster. But somehow, by speaking, the disaster prepared for that day is averted. I shared with you a testimony this morning of a dear sister that I saw who met me at the shop two, three days ago, and talked about how 2023 morning prayers towards the tail end of the year, the daughter went to the beach in Cape Town. She schools in UCT. She's a medical student. Went to the beach, and somehow that day she woke up in the morning, joined the morning prayers. She's not even a member of our church. Someone sent her the link. So when we tell you send someone the link, it's not for you to make us popular. No, we don't get any cent out of all the things we do online. We don't get 1 cent. It's for free. If you even notice, I don't even receive offering. It's for free. Now, someone sent it to her. Then that money we're dealing with, you know, there will not be any premature deaths in my family. I will not bury anybody prematurely. And she prayed that prayer. That day, in the afternoon, the daughter almost died in the beach. Almost died in the beach. She entered the beach. A strong wave came and collected the child. The child was going drowning, and a student who was passing by, they said the name of the student was Noah, you know, and you know, the student was passing by, you know, saw someone screaming because nobody was seeing, and he saw her, and interestingly, he was a lifeguard. He jumped in and rescued the child. If you see bruises on even the one who went to rescue the one, they had to resuscitate her back to her because she was almost gone. Now, what happened? She took the word, woke up in the morning, she heard that there will not be any premature deaths. She heard. If she was not in the service, she would not have heard. She would not have heard. She heard what she heard. She declared it. The word went into power, which means in the realms of the spirit, it was already a concluded matter that that child will be taken on that day. But by the word she heard and declared, there was an interruption. The program of darkness was interrupted. I don't know who you are. Whatever the enemy has prepared, it shall be interrupted in the name of Jesus. It shall be interrupted in the name of Jesus. The program of darkness was interrupted. Heaven sent angel, and they went in the form of Noah. She told me something. I forgot this. She said they've not been able to see that boy again since after that day. They've not been able to see the boy again. They only know the name. They have been looking for the boy. They can't find the boy. How do you deliver a weary soul? Wake them up in the morning. Let them hear. Let them declare. So that the day can be properly programmed. I can imagine if the person who sent her the link didn't send her the link. Maybe she's too ashamed to send prayer link. But they can send any other kind of link. They can send Mr. Ibu's link. Send rubbish jokes link. But when it comes to prayer link, they are too ashamed to send prayer link. Imagine if whoever the person is didn't send it. And she too didn't wake up to log in. She would have gone to pick up her child who is in UCT studying medicine. She says the child is finishing this year. Going to pick her up in a body bag. Wake up to pray. It's not because Joseph wants you to wake up. How do you deliver a weary soul? The scripture tells us. The last scripture, Psalm 19, verse 1 to 2. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. God wants you to command your day. He wants you to give voice to that which you have responsibility and stewardship over. Day unto day uttereth speech. In that speech, is your own speech in it? Day unto day, uttered speech. Day unto day, uttered speech. Day unto day, uttered speech. That is why we lead you. I lead you to declare. When I lead you to declare, it's because I don't want you to pray in confusion. Because I know not everybody will be able to have proper prayer direction. So God puts me as a prayer leader. So you declare you have something to pray. That's why sometimes I even pray in English so that you can understand. So that even if you don't know what to do, you follow my words. As I'm praying, you repeat it. You repeat it. Why? Because I am a teacher. You're a student. Students do what their teachers tell them to do. Life, I close with this statement. Life was never meant to be determined for you. It was meant to be determined by you. Life was never meant to be determined for you. It was meant to be determined by you. Hallelujah. Repeat after me. Say, I will command my morning and I will rule over my day. Thunder, I will command my morning and I will rule over my day. Say amen to that. Give Jesus praise tonight. Let's rise on our feet. Lift your voice in thanksgiving tonight.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you were blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Mogocha. Till next time, God bless.